Amen. Amen. So we're here tonight in the presence of God. Sometimes it's just good to take some time and consider the word of the Lord.
Amen.
And I'm not necessarily talking about preaching, but preaching is good.
Yeah.
Because God chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. But Jesus was an astonishing, awesome, outstanding teacher who we read about in the Word of God, who gave us beautiful examples on how to get a point across to others. And there's some deep lessons in the Word of God, but you don't have to have a deep thinking mind in order to receive them. You don't have to have a lot of education in order to hear the word of the Lord. But what you need, what we all need, is a willing heart and a submissive spirit. Amen. And I believe that I'm in the company and in the fellowship of people who have that tonight. And with that, you can learn a lot of things. You can learn a lot of things. Now, you can establish yourself in the sometimes levels and understanding. And as one writer said, when I was a child, I thought like a child, you know. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. What he's just saying is there is a growth process that can be involved here, where you may understand something one way. He said, I understood as a child, or thought, in other words, as a child. But when I became a man, my understanding had reached some areas of depth that I didn't have when I was a child. So right now in your thinking, you may be looking at eternal life as someday I'm going to have a great big mansion. And there's nothing wrong with that. Those are beautiful thoughts. Amen. Because you may have lived in a dump all your life, in a house that has bad plumbing, or always felt like I wish I had a better place to live. And so if heaven to you and your understanding is a better place to live, amen, that's good. You can understand that, but it's so much more. It's so much more. It is a better place to live. And Jesus explained it as he talked to his followers, because they were people that needed help and understanding too. So he taught them, in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not true, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And so with those words and a few other words, it's easy to come to the conclusion, oh, when I get to heaven, I'm just going to see this great big wonderful city filled with these monstrous mansions on streets of pure gold, as you read about the street of gold, gate of pearl. And you know, I spent most of my young life thinking of heaven in that way. But as I get older, I'm starting to see that there's more than I ever realized. And according to one of the scriptures, eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those that love Him. Amen. When you look at that scripture carefully, the heart of man, it turns out to be the thoughts of man, the thought process of man. It has never entered into your thoughts yet what God has prepared. It's never, everything we've ever thought is less than what it really is. So tonight, I just want us to consider the cross again. What happened at Calvary? What did Jesus do? Was this just something that took place in history? At various times through my years, I have asked this question to preachers. And in every case, I've always gotten either one of two answers. One of them is, wow, I've never thought of it like that. And the other one is, you're absolutely right. Since I was young, God opened up my understanding to something, and I believe it's backed up by the whole Word of God. You see, the Word of God tells us that we need to build our lives on a solid foundation. And there are a lot of scriptures that talk or that teach us about Jesus Christ, the precious cornerstone, the foundation, the head of the church. And there are a lot of scriptures that talk about that which was and is to come, the Almighty. And the question I've asked oftentimes, and I always get those responses, is this. When you consider the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Yeah, I even wrote a song about it about 30 years ago. In the beginning, a Lamb was slain in the Master's plan. His mind conceived our human need before He made a man. Amen. From the world's foundation, hope of all creation, bleeding Lamb of Calvary. He knew He would have to suffer when He created you and me. And the question I've asked, amen, concerning the foundation, being a Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, I have asked the question, was the foundation something that God laid a long time ago, amen, and in that foundation He built something that included the cross? Or is it possible that in reality that the Lamb of God slain is the foundation of the world?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And then you look at the scriptures with that in mind, is it possible that what happened at the cross is the very center and focal point and all of what creation comes into and out from? The scripture tells us that Jesus Christ was and is the image of God. The image of the invisible. That all things were created by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. And so with that in mind, I want us to take a look at the cross. But let's look at some scriptures. Amen. Look at some scriptures. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to start at verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him. Everybody say, He has chosen us, in Him, before the foundation of the world. Let that kind of soak in as I continue to read. He has chosen us in Him. Who is Him? We're talking about Jesus Christ. God has chosen us in Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise and glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He has purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. In whom ye also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Amen. Why don't you go ahead and be seated, because I don't want to keep you standing. Amen. The Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, and to the praise of His glory. Amen. Now, think about this. I got some more here. I'll read if I come back to it. Amen. We won't understand or grasp everything I'm saying. I don't grasp it all myself. How that before there was anything, there is God. Before there was a star, there is God. Before the earth was turning, there is God. Before there was air to breathe, there is God. Before there was light, there is God. Because God created the light. I don't comprehend it. It's way beyond anything I can even start to imagine. We'll never be able to figure it out in these limited thoughts that we have in our limited minds. But we do have God's Word. In the beginning, God. So I accept that. I accept that as the premise by which I base everything else I'm going to say tonight. In the beginning, God. Amen. In the beginning, God. And then I look at the book of Revelation, and it's revealed to those who have the ability to yield to God and let Him reveal Himself, that Jesus Christ says, I am the first. Now, if God is in the beginning, then God is first. Just thoughts. But it's consistent from Genesis to Revelation who God really is. That everything that consists, whether in heaven or on earth, things that are big, things that are small, anything you can think of is here because Jesus is God. What happened at Calvary was an act of God, who is the first of all creation, the beginning of all creation, reconciling unto Himself a people for His name's sake. A God who cannot lie, and a God who cannot fail.
That's right.
He didn't just robe Himself in flesh, praise God, but inside this man called Jesus, it pleased Almighty Creator God to place in Him the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And if you've ever thought of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, no matter how your understanding goes and all that, you can only find that in Jesus Christ. In all your studies, it'll always end up being that in Christ dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That leaves no part of it out. The fullness of the Godhead bodily. So what happened on that cross was God Himself, having pointed to it and having made a way to come forth from it, everything in creation to be able to build its foundation upon that, that Lamb slain shortly before Jesus went to the cross, was when He said, I go to prepare a place for you. He was talking about, in my Father's house are many mansions. Now I'm going to go prepare something for you.
Amen.
And then they came out to get Him as if He was a thief. Here comes Judas, and here comes all the people with their swords and with their lanterns, and they're going to get this man and treat him as a criminal and hang him on a cross. But what was happening was God fulfilling His word. Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a prized stone. Invisible God from everlasting to everlasting, which I can't find everlasting. I don't know how to draw it. I can't find it on the map. From everlasting to everlasting, the invisible God, I cannot see. I cannot find Him. But God tells us that in Him we live, we move, we have our being. Right. He's everywhere. He's in all things. He's above all things, around all things, underneath all things. Amen. His Word is true. All the prophets wrote concerning something to come. Amen. And the church is built on something that did come. Hallelujah. On the old cross, a foundation was laid. Amen. That which had always been spoken of by the shedding of the blood of animals, by the priest being able to listen to the confessions of those who had done wrong, year after year, by the law, by the prophets, all of what those things that were taking place, you read about in the Old Testament, it all came to the cross. And that's why we can read when Jesus died, He ministered to people even like Noah. Amen. He went back and He ministered to all. What was happening was, everything that had happened from in the beginning, God created man. From that point forward, the failure of man, the recovery of man, and everything that God did in His dealings with man, from that point forward, it all came to the cross. And it would not have made any sense at all had there not been the cross. Had there not been a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And in God's way of looking at it, He is the end and the beginning. He knows the end from the beginning. When God lays the foundation, He lays it from an eternal perspective. When we read about it, we hear about it, we see it in the limitation of time. Because back 2,000 years ago, a cross and a lamb was slain. But in God's master mind of all things, He sees a lamb slain. And everything that's written about that which is to come is written about the foundation that is yet to be laid.
Hallelujah.
And everything that happened before Calvary, as I read the Word of God, it just unfolds more and more. Everything that happened before Calvary was God preparing the way for all of this to be established. See, when we build a house, we lay the foundation, and then we establish things on the foundation. We fix the walls. We fix the ceiling later. We always put the foundation down first. But when God deals, He sees that that is first, being first, no matter when it's planted. I don't know if I'm getting this across or not, but there's a revelation here and a wonderful understanding. If you really get a hold of it just right, you'll never want to miss church again. You'll never want to be late for church. You'll never want a day go by that you haven't gotten on your knees and thought and said, Lord, I'm thankful. I'm thankful. Because Jesus was just not a man going to a cross to suffer for a few people to continue in their sins. Hard to understand. But he was saying, my Father in heaven, and in the same conversation, claiming to be the Father in heaven. They didn't get it. Maybe a lot of you don't get it. Amen. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. Now, he's standing here talking to Peter with flesh and blood. And he's been teaching Peter with flesh and blood. He's been leading him and doing things, and all he could see was flesh and blood. Here's a man doing incredible things. Never speak a man like this man. Never walked a man like this man. What manner of man is this? That even the sea, the wind, obeys him. Why? They stood in awe, and they were just confounded because he was such a man. Who do you say that I am? Jesus, the Son of the living God. Flesh and blood did not reveal it to you, Peter. But my Father, which is in heaven, revealed this to you. And I say to you, that upon this rock, I will build my church. Now, who's going to build this church? Amen. The one who is the first, the one who is the creator, the one who is the beginning, the one who is the end, the one who is the Father, the one who is the first, last, that which was, is, and is to come, the Almighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. That's who's going to build this church. When he said, according to his word, you see, here's Moses walking along. God says, I want you to write something. I want you to put this down because all the human race from this point forward is going to reach back and they're going to realize what I have said to you, Moses. And in all ages to come, there will be a base for people to talk about God with and creation. Write this down. And I will preserve it long after you're dead, Moses. What is it I'm going to write, Lord? Write, in the beginning, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Don't try to figure it out, Moses. You just do as you're told. In the beginning, God created the heaven. Where did he get his... Where did he find the library with all this research to get all this knowledge? The Bible says that no man has seen God at any time. But it talks about Moses, how he saw the hinder part of God. In childhood understanding, you might see God walking by and Moses looking at his backside. But in God's way of understanding and revealing himself, what Moses saw was what God showed him concerning God and his creation. He saw that which was the hinder part of God. No man has seen God at any time, but God showed Moses that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the word earth was out form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. And God said, let us make, let us do this, let us make man in our own image. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And things that were not suddenly appeared. Write down, Moses. What are you looking at, Moses? Wow, I'm looking at that which was the hinder part of God. But until Jesus Christ, nobody was able to enter into the Holy of Holies except God's ordained priest, who was able to go into a certain place in the tabernacle and represent all the people. And all the people that had said, I bring my sacrifice and I do my part according to the plan of God. I present the blood that I've been able to present to say that I am a sinner and I want to come clean. I don't know what else to do except God has given me this to do. And here goes the priest into the Holy of Holies. Nobody can go there except what God says can be there. Anybody else that dares to try to venture there will die.
Right.
You can't touch the Ark of the Covenant or you'll die.
Right.
You got to be careful because you can't even get close to God or you'll die. But what happens at Calvary? God Himself lays a foundation so that God Himself can dwell with man. Now you yourself can go into the Holy of Holies and you can touch the Ark of the Covenant and you can touch God Himself. Everybody. you have me right, Lord? I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, that which was, that which is, and is to come, the Almighty. How many Almighty do you suppose there are? How many Almighty do you suppose there was when God created the heaven and the earth? How many Almighty do you think there were when Calvary presented us a bleeding lamb? How many Almighties were there when you were baptized? How many Almighty names did you call, or have you called over you when you were baptized? I tell you, there's one Almighty, and His name is Jesus. And is to come the, not those Almighties, the Almighty. And you had ye quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He hath loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, in other words, given us life, together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. Where? In Christ Jesus. Heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And you can seek God till you're blue in the face. And you can get mad at God because He didn't give you what you were expecting. Because His Word says, this is yours, and He provided it Calvary. And you do all you want to do and try to get it. And if it doesn't work, amen, don't ever think it's because of something you did or something you didn't do. Amen. Because whatever happens, it's going to be because God did it. And if you get the Holy Ghost, if you get healed, you didn't earn it and you didn't make it happen. The grace of God. It's the gift of God. And if you have to seek after God for 50 years before God gives you that which is real, that He provided at Calvary, when you get it, it will have come from God. You didn't work it up, and you didn't do anything to cause it to come sooner or later. Whatever happened, happened. Just give God the glory and be thankful that you can get in on it. Everything. If we had to understand everything, we would all be miserable creatures. I don't know all there is to know about God. I don't expect to ever know all there is to know about God in this life. I don't know why a lot of things happen. I don't know why so many people have so many problems and then live for God with a seemingly with all the heart and prayer. I don't understand all these things. But God sees things in a different way. Amen. People die and we're sad. But if they die in the faith, God is glad.
Amen.
We shed tears while the angels rejoiced. Finally, they got this life over with. Thank God. Because this is a real God. There is a real heaven. And there is a real preparation that has taken place where God can get us there. And it's true what happened at the cross. It's the foundation of all things. plan.
Right.
And when Jesus gave his blood, it's because God's plan was being fulfilled. Wherefore, remember that ye being in sin, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands. There's a parallel here being presented. That which is flesh is flesh, that which is spirit is spirit. That at times ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ.
Amen.
He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross.
Glory.
Reconcile unto God in one body by the cross.
Amen.
Talking about a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. How we're reconciled to God. This is how we're brought to God. This is how we establish anything that is going to be established. We have to find our way to the cross.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. That he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, even to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit and to the Father. Hallelujah. Now therefore you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built. Everybody say built.
Built.
Upon the foundation of the apostles
and the prophets.
So what is their foundation? The next word will tell you. Let me read this again. You're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise him, praise him, praise him. And the prophets, Jesus Christ himself, being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, this isn't talking about your church building. This isn't talking about your house. This isn't talking about some big mansion that you have in your mind that you're going to live in someday. But this is talking about the holy temple of God, the holy presence of God, the dwelling place of God, that place where we will all find ourselves in Christ because of Calvary.
Amen.
Hallelujah. In whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth up, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord.
Amen.
In whom ye are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. I'm telling you that the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world is the foundation of the world. You want something to stand upon? Stand upon your cornerstone and make sure that you learned about it through what is written by the prophets and the apostles concerning him. Unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. The government shall be upon his shoulder. This was written hundreds of years before there was a Jesus Christ baby in a manger. Unto us a child is born. This is the inspiration of God, the Holy Spirit moving on the prophet to write it. And when God writes, it's as if it's happening this moment. Is born. Hundreds of years. More time has gone by than there has been a United States. And this is written. A child is born. That's like saying, you know, you live in Europe in the year 1213. And you write, today, Columbus is going to discover America. It doesn't make a bit of sense to our limited understanding. But God doesn't base anything on our limited understanding. All the base of God is on Jesus Christ, the foundation, the cornerstone, the wall, the roof, the light, the floor. Everything that we can ever want can be found in Jesus Christ. And so the prophet writes, is moved on by the Holy Ghost, unto us this day is born. Amen. Unto us is born. A child is born. And a son is. Not with, was, and not shall be, but is. Is born. Is given.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Moses said, who are you going to say? Who do I say sent me? Tell them this. I am. You want to explain God to somebody? Just say it like this. God is.
God is.
Everybody say God is.
God is.
God is.
God is.
It doesn't matter when you live, God is.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what happened in history, God is.
Amen.
It doesn't matter how far back you go, God is.
God is.
It doesn't matter how far you plan for the future, God is.
Amen.
And unto us is born. Unto us a child is born. Hundreds of years are going to go by, but it's going to be is when it gets here.
Right.
And it is now. And I want to tell you, in 2005, he still is. Let's praise him again. Hallelujah! Unto us a child is born. Unto us. Isaiah the prophet, hundreds of years before the crucifixion. Hundreds of years before the crucifixion. Unto us. A son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor,
Hallelujah.
The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. It's okay to call Father God Jesus, because whatever God ever was, Jesus is. Did you get that? Whatever God ever was, Jesus is.
Amen.
And whatever Jesus is what God was. Let that absorb a little bit. When we talk about a name above all names, it's not just theory. We talk about Jesus being the only name given unto heaven whereby we must be saved. It's not some theological thought process that we're going through. It's God's Word. God's Word establishing something that we can build our faith upon. That in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. That's not talking about just every knee in our population today. It's every knee shall bow. Adam's knee shall bow. Isaiah's knee shall bow. The prophets, the apostles, all the saints that have ever lived, every sinner, every knee shall bow.
Amen.
Every knee in history shall bow. Every knee that's ever been and ever shall be shall bow. Where? At the name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There's only one Lord. Now God is the Lord. The Lord is that Spirit. We're baptized in the name of the Lord. By one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. Who are you going to call Lord? A
am the first. I am the last. I never was. Is.
My God.
Is to come. The Almighty.
Yes, Lord.
I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, John said. I heard behind me a voice saying, I am. Thank you, Jesus. He's the great I am, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the eternal wonder of all creation. Hallelujah. I am the first, the last, the beginning, the end, that which was and is and is to come.
Amen.
The Almighty. Hallelujah. So why do we call Jesus Lord? Because He's God.
Amen.
And we have no business calling anything Lord that's not God. Amen. And that's our landlord. That's a different kind of Lord. Amen. Somebody asked him, what's wrong with this, what's wrong with that? Talking about various habits they get caught up in. Some people serve their hobbies, some people serve their habits. Just make sure that Jesus Christ is your Lord. See, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. By confessing that He is Lord, amen, we're all going to do whether we live for it or not.
Yes.
Because He is Lord. And whether we believe it or not, He is Lord. Whether we live for Him or not, He is Lord. Whether we have the truth in our lives or not, He is Lord. Amen. But I want to say, as the doubter said when he finally realized what was happening, my Lord. Jesus is my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. He had to go through an experience that Jesus is merciful. He said, come on here, look at the scars, feel of me. See for yourself. You have to be convinced, I have to come to a level of understanding that you will finally see it. But I want you, I love you enough, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to let you see and open your eyes, little baby of little understanding. Go ahead and see my scars. Go ahead and feel of me. Thrust your finger in the hole that was in my side. Amen. It's really me. And He says, my Lord, my God. Hallelujah. Praise Him again. My Lord. Cornerstone. And so Paul went on and he wrote to the church at Ephesus, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, are you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation He made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partaker of His promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Everybody say effectual. What the Lamb of Calvary actually was, Jesus Christ, is today a provision for us. It's God's effectual work. In other words, there was a cause, and then there was the effect. Amen. You know, you can talk about something a lot, but unless something is done, the talk doesn't mean that much. Hallelujah. We're talking about repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and the Holy Ghost. And doctrinally, we're right. We talk about you need to trust Jesus. Hallelujah. But until you trust Him, amen. It's just words. What we need is an effectual working going on around here.
Yes.
Praise God. We need the effect. And it's available to us. Everybody say it's available to me.
Yes.
Praise God.
Amen.
We know enough to save everybody.
Amen.
We have enough knowledge of the Word of God. Everybody here should go home saved, healed, sanctified, delivered from anything you need to be delivered from. But what we need is that effectual working of Christ in our lives.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And He will grant to you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. See, God wants us to know what's the height and the depth. How wide is it? He wants us to know what we're in here. And then he says all that to us in the Word. He says, what we want to see is that you be filled with the fullness of God. How can you be filled with the fullness of God? Get Jesus in your life.
Yeah.
Get Jesus in your life. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, to Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And to Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Ages? All ages? How many ages does that include? We're being prayed for here. That we might be able, amen, to have all that we ask for, and have abundantly the things that we ask for and think that we need, according to the power that works in us, this fullness of God that's in us, we're being prayed for here. That unto Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Hallelujah. Throughout all ages. Time someday I'm going to sit down and have a little talk. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something, fellas. I talked about you one Sunday here in our church.
Yeah.
You better be thankful that God provided something thousands of years after you're dead to make it be possible that you could live like you lived.
Yeah, right.
You still sit down with me in the heavenly kingdom. Because
right.
You got this stuff. I call sin. You guys did things that the apostles and Jesus Christ condemned. You guys did things that were contrary to the very law of God. And some things you did that we studied about were listed in the Word of God as an abomination to God. You need to be thankful for the old rugged cross, Abraham. You need to be thankful that even though you didn't live in the day when it took place, that in the day of the Lord, God put you in the same place in His thoughts as Calvary. And He put me on the other side of Calvary. And now we can have fellowship because He has brought us together in one. Hallelujah. That which was behind the cross, and that which is before the cross. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Sit down, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Thank you, Jesus. Noah. Amen. You got a real big break there. Amen. Amen. You found grace in the eyes of God. When do you think God looked at him with that grace? I'm going to tell you when he looked at him. It was from an old rugged cross that would come thousands of years after the flood. And at the cross, Jesus fixed it all through grace. By grace, Noah was saved because he obeyed God in his time. God put a rainbow in the sky, talking of the promise of God. When you look upon that rainbow, in all ages to come, it's a reminder that God will never destroy this world again with water. But next time, be prepared. It'll be fire. Let us stand. And I'm just in the introduction, because this thing has been in me for 40 years. And I hardly ever find anybody to listen to me over 30 minutes. But once in a while, somebody will be searching the scriptures. And they'll open the book and you'll say, you know, I heard a lot of yakking and talk up there, a lot of hollering kind of a little bit. But there's something he said. Stuck with me. Wow. I didn't get it then. But I see something here. I'm taking another look at what happened at the cross. He wasn't just crucified for me. He was crucified for every inhabitant that ever set foot on planet Earth. And he isn't just God in the church today that we call Jesus. But in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. And John said, we beheld his glory. We beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. There's a reason why it's worded like that. He saw something beyond a man when he beheld his glory. He saw God Almighty and the Word that was made flesh. Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. In the beginning, a lamb was slain in the Master's plan. His mind conceived our human need before. He said, let us make man in our own image. Hallelujah. So when I get down to pray and I say, Jesus, help me, calling on the Creator of all things. Not just calling on a middle God that lived 2,000 years ago. Calling on the one that laid the foundation and then became the foundation. And is and always was the foundation. He's that which is and was and is to come. And it all gets summed up in I am. I am. There is no history with God. It's a presence. Are you here? Thank you, Jesus. God, open our understanding in our hearts. Because inside these words that I feebly have spoken, there's a deep message that will establish people on a foundation of who Jesus is and what Jesus is all about. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord sounds good, but it comes from the lips of a lot of people who do not serve God. But Jesus is Lord. Lord, help us to understand that you're our Lord, our Savior, our God, our one who makes it possible that we can know you. And if it were not the grace of God, we would just not be able to make it. The gift of God. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to have a better understanding, a better knowledge, that you are Lord of our thoughts, Lord of our ambitions, Lord of our talents, Lord of all that we do, all that we think, all that we are. You are Lord, and without you, we are nothing. I speak in all kinds of tongues, and I don't show forth the love and the presence of God in my life. It's valued at nothing. Lord Jesus, help us to realize that our hope is in the Lord, our help is in the Lord, and our life must be wrapped up in our God. Jesus is your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know what I'm looking for? Bunch of new excited people, not that anything's wrong with any of y'all, but some of you got old and set in your ways. And I'm still somehow missing that exuberance. Let it all out. is new to me. Praise God, I can't get enough. I'll preach, I wish you wouldn't stop now, I need another hour. You ain't seen, you just don't comprehend what it's like to be standing before 200, brand new, Holy Ghost filled. Just got it. Just got in on it. They don't know nothing. But man, are they excited. They want to go to church every night. Every day. They don't want to be at the pastor's house. Tell us one more thing. Like little babies hungry for more meal. Just anything. And my, I shouldn't be missing that. God sent us to New England. There are millions of people here that God sent us to. He has put in our hands the ability to reach out to thousands upon thousands. But He never commanded us to get satisfied with the fact that we're able to do this and just sit around and say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, praise the Lord. He wants you to be set on fire. And His vision has always been, in the longest I've been here, stay with the fire. Stay with the excitement. Stay with the zeal. Stay where the praise is. Stay where it's fresh and new all the time. Because God hasn't gone old. His word is as fresh as it was the first time He jumped up and down and said, woo! It's the same as it was then. What have you lost if you've lost anything? If you've lost your ability to break down and cry. If you've lost the ability to fall on the floor and let your hair that's not all emotion. Praise to God is not all emotion. Emotion gets involved, but it's not part of the praise. It's a thankfulness that every human being has. If you don't have emotion, you're not human. If you can't get excited about good things happening, you're not human. Here's the result of emotion. So what I'm emotional about? Because I'm full of joy. I'm full of praise. I'm full of thankfulness.
pictures, they have the crucifixes, and everything is all about, oh, look at
that death that he died, that was the foundation of something to be built. Praise God. It was something that everything would be built upon, past and present. Thank you, Jesus. But don't let it be in vain in your life. Continue to let God build you, strengthen you. Hallelujah. Best thank you. Best thank you. Best thank you. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 First, and I'll let you go. Amen. I saw on the right hand of him that sat upon the throne a book written within on the back side and sealed with seven seals. And it was written within and on the back side and sealed with seven seals. Now, he's not talking about a book like this book.
Hallelujah.
He's talking about something that was and is Hallelujah. And forevermore was perfect.
Amen.
I saw in the right hand of him, in the power of him to sit on the throne, the book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" This book that was in the power of him to sit on the throne. I'm going to tell you who that is. That's God. Written within and on the backside, and sealed with seven seals. And the strong angel proclaimed, said, "Who's worthy to open it and to loose the seals?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, or even look at it, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof." And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain. Hallelujah. He came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb. Before the lamb.
Hallelujah.
And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy. You're worthy to open the seal, to take the book and open the seal. For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, for we shall reign on the earth." And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb." Everybody say, "Worthy is the Lamb."
Worthy.
Worthy is the Lamb. Saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb." See how loud you can say that. Worthy is the Lamb. Shout it to God.
Worthy.
Lord, for us.
Thank you.
Look beyond our words today. Rise in our trials and in your rivers today. Praise God. God bless you.